Shalom. Good evening, saints. God bless you this evening. Welcome to the Bible study. I do want to apologize for sending the link out late. I did it early in the morning, sent it out to Brother George, sent it to Brother Sasha, and then spent the day running around preparing, doing other things, and then realized 20, 25 minutes ago that I never sent it out to everybody else. So I do apologize for that. So I don't think we'll have that many people get in. I'm sure other people have already made up their minds on other things to do, but we'll continue on anyhow. So we do greet you, saints, and God bless you. It's Tuesday night, time for us just to take a look at current events made clear by prophecy. May the Lord help us to do that. Just to get an understanding, if the Lord would help us, just to take things a little bit further. We started looking last week at the Prince of Persia. If I can share my screen here. And then we'll get ourselves going. Okay, so we're just looking today again at this watch Persia, but you want to take it back. We've just come back from Auschwitz, Birkenau, with quite a number of our young people. And that was last week on Monday, which was quite an eye-opener, quite an amazing thing for many people, and more so in light of the events that we see happening in Israel. Now, just to see manifestations and to see things taking place that you could never, ever believe could happen in a so-called civilized world. And you go to Auschwitz, you go to Birkenau, you come and read what's happening in the newspaper, what's recently happened in Israel, and you're going to find out that indeed spirits never die. There's nothing new under the sun. As we said last time, vessels die, but the spirits never die. So you wanted to have a look at this, just to trace this spirit a little bit, just to maybe bring things to a certain point. I'm not too sure how far we'll go on it, but just to get ourselves to a certain point this evening. So we're looking at the spirit of Amalek and the sixth trumpet. So this will tie us in then with the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is a very powerful message. It's one of those messages that you'll never understand it if you haven't been in the message for quite some time. Now, you really have to know your seals, have gone through them. You have to know the framework of the message a lot. And also, you need to understand how Brother Branham uses his grammar, how he speaks. Otherwise, you'll find a lot of things in that message which will puzzle you. But it's a very, very powerful message. He preached Feast of Trumpets, then he also preached I think the week before, recognizing your day and its message. And that's when he places a lot of things to do with Israel and the church, and especially with the sixth trumpet, because the trumpets sound right at the end of the Jewish year. It's one of the last of their feasts. After the long feast of Pentecost, you have your Feast of Trumpets, which was a sign. It was a gathering of the people back to Jerusalem so that they could get themselves ready for the Day of Atonement, for the great, great day when the sacrifice was made for their sins. So, you know, all through the church ages, through this great feast of Pentecost we've been through, the Christians have been waiting for the end time sign, which is the regathering of Israel. Because the Feast of Trumpets is the regathering of Israel. And we see Israel gathered in the homeland. We know we're living right in the end time because of so many things in Scripture that we can tie it to. But we find out whenever the Lord starts fulfilling his word, he starts anointing vessels and people start yielding themselves to the anointing, Israel returning to the homeland, you're going to find there's going to be an opposition rise up. You're going to find Satan also. He's going to release things in the end time. When the Lord is sending the anointing for the fulfillment of his word, Satan's going to be sending a spirit of opposition as well. And we see that's the spirit of Amalek, as we'll get into. That's really where it's bringing things to a climax in this day that we're living. Let's just pray first before we go any further. Father, we do pray and ask for your mercy upon this night, Lord. So much longing to be led and guided of thee. So desiring your leadership, your guidance, your wisdom, your grace in the way to go upon this evening, Lord. And Father, what should be said? Lord, as your prophet said many times, Lord, you are still able to fill our mouths with good things and you're able to close our mouths, Father, from the things that we shouldn't say. So we ask of you for your blessing upon the speaker and upon the hearers, that as we had come to the end, Lord, Father, we may be wiser, may be edified, may be closer to you. May, Lord, understand and know, which is our prayer and our desire. Help us now bless your people, each and every one. Then that would watch this down the way. May your blessing be upon them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at this thought of the spirit of Amalek and the sixth trumpet. Now we see what's taking place at the moment. I put there's a demonstration in London, a pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas demonstration in London. Tens and tens of thousands of people. And I just put there, this is shocking. You know, this really shocks me to see what's taking place with all of these demonstrations, bearing in mind the headline there in the newspaper, London pro-Palestine demonstration refuses to condemn Hamas atrocities, laying blame for terror on Israel. I mean, it's like I have a look around sometimes and I wonder, are we normal? I mean, because we just do not fit in with this world, the spirit of this world, the spirit of this age, and it's getting deeper and deeper. And the demarcation between the believer and the spirit that's governing the world is getting far and far. The bridge, the gulf is getting far and far wider. Now the gap is getting bigger all the time. And when I look at this and I say that people will be out there protesting against Israel, but refusing to condemn Hamas for the atrocities, you ask yourself, are people sane or what's wrong with people? You know, just common sense, even if you had no side and even if you didn't understand any of the history, but to see what is taking place in the media and to see what is taking place on the streets, it's just unbelievable. Then you go to the next one. This is in Belfast, a big demonstration in Belfast, yet the newspapers, no, anywhere which has got a reasonable coverage of the news, they're all saying the same thing. Yes, Hamas committed unspeakable atrocities. Now, so nobody can doubt that these demon-possessed men, savages that they are in the way that they behaved, went and did unspeakable things that you cannot believe can be done in a day like this. And instead of people condemning these Hamas, instead of up to now, the chorus of the world, the United Nations and everyone coming against these, it's this bloodthirsty, demonic organization. Instead of the cry of the newspapers and the demonstrators out there being to release these hostages, men and women, babies, and 40 young children. You know, one of them, I think, 10 months old, taken hostage by these barbarians of Hamas. But you find all the coverage, go and see it now, more and more and more, it's against Israel. When Israel now is going in, which under international law, they have every right to go to war against Hamas for what Hamas has done. And Israel's doing everything in its power, clearing corridors to get the civilians out the way, sending leaflets, phoning the individuals in Gaza, street by street, building by building, telling them to move, doing everything that it possibly can to get civilians out the way. And Hamas is blocking those civilians from leaving Gaza so it can use them as human shields, wanting them to die under Israeli bombs so that the Western media can come and take all of these pictures about so-called Jewish atrocities. I put there on that picture, do they have no shame? Do these people out there on the street, these deluded people, do they have no shame whatsoever? I mean, do they not have any humanity left inside of themselves? Do you think just 1 month ago, these terrorists went into a sovereign nation, to peaceful kibbutzes, peaceful settlements? And these settlements they went to, the most amazing thing is these were the left-leaning people in Israel. These were not the conservatives, the real, like, Orthodox Jews. Most of these people that were killed were the ones that went to live near the Gaza border because they wanted peace with Hamas, because they wanted to go and live and make settlements near to Gaza so they could express solidarity and so forth. So they were the real liberal people in Jewish society. The greatest friends of the Palestinians were living in those areas, and these Hamas people went, not only murdered them, but murdered them in such barbaric, unspeakable ways, torturing them and all that kind of stuff. And then you say, but where does this world yeah, get its intelligence from? Or does it not have any intelligence anymore? Like I said, do they not have any shame to be protesting against Israel? They should be hanging their heads in shame. Doesn't make any sense at all. But what about the next one? There's Dublin. Ireland stands with Palestine. What a shame. I said, do they not have an understanding of what they are supporting? You're supporting bloodthirsty savages. No, people that are so cruel and demonic that would butcher babies and so forth. And you're out there saying Ireland stands with Palestine. Wow, and there's all these huge, huge demonstrations. Protesters take to the streets around the world to show their support for the Palestinians. Now, we have nothing against Palestinians. Like we said, there's good Palestinian Christians. There's a lot of Palestinians that want to just live a normal life. But Israel is not at war against Palestinians. Israel is at war against Hamas, against this very group of barbarians that came into their sovereign nation and murdered their civilians in such horrifying ways. What do they want Israel to do? Just to sit back and just accept it? And then the United Nations now condemning Israel for the things that it's doing. I don't know, saints, I just really, really wonder sometimes when I see these things. I say, honestly, the world is mad. It doesn't think straight. It doesn't even make common sense. I would never get out on a demonstration to support these kind of things. Because look what it is that you're supporting. It doesn't make any sense at all. The only thing you could say is like Jesus, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand what they're doing by getting behind all of these things. On the next one, I just want to say that, and I really believe this with all my heart, if you support Hamas now, you would have supported Hitler in the 1930s. No, you absolutely, because we'll see this is exactly the same spirit. The same spirit that's upon Hamas, that they can torture the Jews like this, you know, do unspeakable things to the Jews, is exactly the same spirit we saw last week on Monday when we went to Auschwitz-Birkenau and we saw what Hitler, the Jews did what the Nazis, the Germans, well, the Nazis, did to the Jews just 80 years ago. It's exactly the same atrocities and things that they did. And in some things, Hamas is even worse than Hitler, worse than the SS and the Nazis and what they did to the Jews back then. And then people out there in the media and even backing Hamas. Wow. I say the world is just as crazy now as it was in the 1930s when people tried to appease Hitler. And there were just a few voices out there saying what this man really was and what he really stood for. And why, if you're supporting Hamas now, would you have supported Hitler? Because it's exactly the same spirit. The same spirit now as it was then. Here we see 2023. There's the Hamas ovens. Hamas roasted babies in ovens, say Israeli emergency services. Imagine they took a baby and they put it in the oven while it was alive, turned the oven on and made the mother sit and watch it bake. Imagine. Can you imagine this? And people are out there on the street in Dublin and Belfast demonstrating in support of these kind of things. And there's now Auschwitz, where we were in 1944. There's the trolleys where they put the bodies of the Jews that gassed. They put them on those trolleys, and there's the ovens that they put them into. Many of them still, from coming from the punishment cells, were still alive when they put them inside of those ovens. It's exactly the same spirit, saints. And I just wanted to put it on public record that it's a shame. It's a shame what Ireland is doing standing with the Palestinians. It's a shame what they're doing standing with Hamas. It's a shame to allow these things to take place. They should never be allowed to take place. It's a crime against common decency, considering what these people did. Then you see today, Israel now has had to send a warning out to all of the Jews around the world, telling its citizens to reevaluate travel and not to wear any Jewish symbols when they're abroad, telling Jews, just because they're Jews, be careful, don't travel if you don't need to at this time. And if you're going to travel, don't let anything show that you're a Jew. Wow, that brings us back to the Nazi SS days. When the Jews now, they had to wear the yellow Star of David there to show that they were Jews, and they burnt the buildings, the synagogues and all that. Anything which had a Jewish symbol under was attacked. And the only way the Jews could survive then was not to wear those symbols. And now they're telling them, don't wear your any Jewish symbols when you're out. Don't wear your little yarmulke, your hat, or don't have a Star of David and stuff, because you'll be attacked just for being a Jew. Is that not an amazing thing? Saints, I don't know if you feel about it the same way as me, but I find this hard to accept. I find this hard to understand, is what this world really is and what it really stands for. And when he brought it the other week, we saw, what is this? The Lord has a serious issue with this spirit, with the spirit that is upon these demonstrators and upon these governments that are supporting Hamas and are condemning Israel. The Lord has a very serious issue with them. And these are the things that hasten us to a tribulation period. They really do. Because these are the things that fill up the cup of the iniquity of the Gentile nations very, very quickly. We saw last week, the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. That spirit of the Amalekites that came and he hit against the weak people and the stragglers and, you know, that cruelty which they showed to the Jews. The Lord says, I will totally put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And so Moses built an altar, called it Jehovah Nissi, as a memorial of what the Lord had promised. So people could come back to that memorial and they would see that the Lord was very, very serious and he wasn't going to forget what these people had done to his people. And the Lord said, for he said, because the Lord hath sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So we saw last time that shows that the spirit of Amalek will rise up in every generation. A spirit against the children of God, naturally the Jews, and also a spirit against the spiritual seed of Abraham, which is the church. There's always the spirit of persecution, that if the Lord doesn't hold it back, just because you're a Christian, just because you're a believer, you'll be persecuted for no other cause. These people are being persecuted just because they're Jews, just because they are the seed of Abraham. And it's an anointing, it's a spirit among the nations. It's the spirit of Amalek, the Lord said, which anoints people to make them hate Israel because they're the seed of Abraham. They are the children of God. So we see that. So God has major issues with the spirit. He really does when he sees these things. And why does he have such major issues with the spirit? Because this spirit of Amalek, this spirit that's upon the Palestinians, upon BBC, upon CNN, upon, you know, all of these the people that are reporting this in such a biased, unbalanced way, the Lord has an issue. And what is the issue? Because it's an antichrist spirit which fights against the fulfillment of his word. Why do these Arabs fight against Israel? Israel's got a 0.5% of land that the Arabs have. They've got plenty of land. Israel's a small little nation, a tiny nation, can drive from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in under an hour, from one side of Israel to the other in about an hour and something. You can drive from Gaza to Tel Aviv 1 hour and 15. It's a small place. But the spirit of Amalek, the spirit of Antichrist, it's against the fulfillment of the word. In every age, this spirit fights militantly against the word. Satan doesn't want to see God fulfill his word. And when the Lord speaks to Israel and prophesies through all the prophets of the Old Testament, they say that every prophet in the Old Testament prophesied of the restoration, the regathering of Israel, except for Jonah. He's the only one you'll find. Every other prophet spoke that Israel will be gathered. Israel will be brought out. Israel will come back again. And then Jesus came, confirmed the same. Paul came and confirmed the same. So what we see, when we see Israel become a nation in our generation, 1948 again, it is the fulfillment of the word of God. It's the covenant promises of God. And Satan doesn't like that. He wants to fight against the fulfillment of prophecy. He thinks in some way that he can stop God's word from coming to pass. He can't. But that's why he gets among the nations of the world and he finds these vessels and he fills them with his poison and his venom. And for no reason, no rational reason, people hate Israel. They just hate Israel. They hate the Jews, just like Hitler did. There was no rational reason for it. They were good citizens in Germany. They were the scientists, the conductors, the composers, and the orchestras, and the mathematicians, the big professors. But this spirit of Amalek, the spirit of Antichrist, rose up. In that generation came and anointed a man, Adolf Hitler, and he hated the Jews. And he wrote while he was in prison, Mein Kampf, which was his manifesto. And he said, if I get in power, I'm going to put to death these Jews. He was open from the beginning. And the people of Germany, blinded by the Great Depression and the desperation because they had no jobs and all that, and because this man was anointed and could speak and give them promises that he'd restore the glory and that, the people bowed down and gave into that spirit and gave now the allegiance to the spirit of Antichrist upon a man. And as soon as he had power and authority, he spread it. Within 6 weeks, he started building the concentration camps. Then he started putting the Jews in ghettos. Then the Jews had to wear a yellow Star of David. The Jews couldn't work in government offices anymore. The Jews couldn't marry non-Jews. And all the laws started coming just against this minority of people in Germany called the Jews, because it was an anointing. It was a spirit upon the people. And when it was given opportunity to express itself, we see what it did now. And you just go to Birkenau, you go to Auschwitz, you go and see the manifestation of when you allow this spirit, people governed by this spirit, to take authority, you will see horrifying things. When they have a power of expression, when this spirit is given an opportunity to express itself like it did in a small measure a month ago, it's shocking what will come forth from this. And the Lord knows that. And that's why the Lord has big issues with this spirit, because it's a harsh, cruel spirit. It'll do anything to try to stop the fulfillment of the word. And that's what we see happening in our day. But what does the Lord say? Look at this sign that they're holding up there. Palestine will be free from the river to the sea. That's what they're saying. Now that is going directly, I almost was going to say, spitting in the face of God's word. Because here to Joshua, the Lord said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given to you, as I said to Moses. So that land there, every place where they put their foot, Joshua, and dividing the 12 tribes of Israel, the Lord says, I, the Lord, have given this to you. This was given by God to the seed of Abraham. And where is this land? From where? He says, from the wilderness, which is the wilderness of the desert to the south, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun. So from the river to the sea was given to Israel. That's what the Lord did. He gave it to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the seed of Jacob, the 12 tribes. They went in under Joshua and they possessed the inheritance. From the river to the sea was given by God in his word to the Jews. And look at these people now, what they're saying. Palestine will be free from the river to the sea. Now, one of these is a false prophecy. One of these is of God and one of these is Antichrist. And unfortunately, the majority of the people in the world can't find a difference between them. And what did they do now? Look what it says, that sign this man's holding up. Israel is a child killer. Okay, let's get on to the news. Unimaginable evil. Hamas beast sliced the baby out of a pregnant Israeli's womb, while the bodies of 20 children found tied up and burnt. Imagine burning them when they're alive. And this person, deluded person, getting out there in the media is all they're supporting and saying, Israel is a child killer. Israel's not a child killer. If they wanted, like we said the other week, to kill the people of Gaza, they would have bombed them all and killed them long ago. But they're warning them and getting them out the way. And Hamas is holding the people back, building its military infrastructure under hospitals, in mosques, shooting at Israel from within hospitals and so forth. Friends, and that's all contrary to the Geneva Convention. Those are war crimes according to international law. But there's not one of these news organizations, major news organizations, that is calling it out and saying Hamas is committing war crimes. It's putting its tunnels under hospitals and so forth. This is wrong. The world needs to do something about this. Israel goes in there to say, we're going to stop this now so it never happens again. And everyone's now trying to put all this pressure on them to try to get them to stop from defending themselves. And they called child killers. Yet people forget exactly what happened just a month ago, very conveniently. It's very sad. Here they are putting a Nazi symbol on a Star of David, and they're burning a flag. Now listen what this Jewish German said years back, when Germany started burning the books of all of the Jews and so forth in the 1930s. He said it was just the prelude. Where they burn books, they will ultimately burn people too. You see, when those same people that burn flags and the same people that take, you know, the Jewish scriptures and burn them and so forth, give them power, give them authority, give them opportunity, and they start burning people. That's exactly what they did all through the ages. Look what they did at the bottom there. Here's the man who has to go and get all the burnt bodies and start identifying all of these 1,400 plus murdered innocent civilians in southern Israel. They were burned while tied together. He found whole families had been tied together and then burnt. The gut-wrenching work of identifying victims of the Hamas attack. And yet they say that it's Israel is the one that kills the children and so forth. When they burn your flags, they'll burn you if they get a chance. Do you ever find Israel burning the Palestinian flags? You don't. Do they do those things? You don't find that. It's a democracy. No, they don't do those kind of things. And here the CNN and all that will be showing all these flags being burned. Yeah, you know, public opinion is against Israel. Well, then public opinion is wrong. And I'm glad that I don't stand with public opinion, because public opinion agrees with abortion. Public opinion agrees with all of these gay right things. Friends, sometimes to stand in the minority, you have to. In fact, most of the time, to stand with God, you have to stand in the minority. Now, there's nothing new under the sun. Here's the great demonstration. Here they're chanting. And what's going on here? Here's Jesus and Barabbas. There's nothing new under the sun, friends. Here they come. This crowd is anointed with a demonic anointing. What has Jesus done wrong? Jesus has done nothing wrong. He's just the fulfillment of the word. And that's what Satan hated. He was the word made flesh. And that's why Satan wanted to destroy him and oppose him every step of the way. And everything that he did, try to malign what he did and try to get people against him and twist the facts and twist his words and so forth. You can see the whole public opinion, the whole public media, you could say, in that day was totally against Jesus. He had to fight against it every step of the way because it was controlled by the devil. You know, politics is the work of the devil as well. And here was Jesus and here was Barabbas. Yeah, and the crowd are chanting a huge demonstration. And you'll think, surely this crowd that look in common sense and say, here's Barabbas, here's a murderer. Yeah, my, here's someone he's one of the worst of society, Barabbas. He was a bloodthirsty murderer who had been sentenced to death by the Romans for causing an insurrection. He was a thief as well, it says, and a murderer. And they bring him and they bring Jesus before the great Palestinian mob, you could say. Yeah? And they say, Pilate says, who do you want me to release to you? Listen to what he says. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will you that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate was shocked. Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They say to him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil has he done? Remember we said the other week, you can't argue with these people because it's a spirit. Pilate tried to argue with him to say, this doesn't make any sense. You're against this man who is the fulfillment of prophecy. He's done nothing wrong. And he has a murderer. He's got blood on his hands. He's done atrocities. And instead, you would want this one to die and you want this one to live. And he's asking, but why? What has this man done? What evil has he done? And they weren't interested in reasoning. They just cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And friends, we see exactly that now, because Israel is the fulfillment of the word. You and I are the fulfillment of the word. That's how our turn will come in the squeeze. You see, now everything's being restrained. Like we said on Sunday, the great power of intercession of our great high priest, holding back the evil, restraining the powers of darkness. That if Satan could have his way against you and me, saints, it wouldn't be a pleasant time. And if Satan can have his way against Israel, which is what he wants, because they are the fulfillment of the word in this age. They are fulfilling prophecy in this day. And that brings the hatred of Satan against them. And Satan needs vessels to use to get his agenda fulfilled. And unfortunately, he finds so many willing people out there that are willing to yield unto the spirit. And you can't reason with them. It doesn't make sense that you can support Hamas instead of Israel. Israel's a democracy. We said it the other day, the only democracy in the whole of the Middle East. Israel has Arabs in its parliament in opposition to the Jews. Arab Israelis can vote. Arab Israelis can live anywhere. Yeah, that's amazing if you really think about it. But go to Saudi Arabia. There's no democracy there. Go to Jordan. There's no democracy. Go to Egypt. There's no democracy. Go to all of those other nations around there. There's no human rights. There's no free elections. Go to Gaza. There hasn't been elections since 2006. No, they Hamas put to death all of the political opposition. And you have one nation there, yeah, that is a democracy, one nation there that has free and fair elections. And all people, all Israelis, Jews, Arabs, Druze people can all stand for parliament. There's many Muslims in the Israeli parliament that are against the Israeli government. It's a democracy. They even allow gay rights in Israel. Go to all those other nations. What do they do to the gay people? Go and see what happens to gay people in Gaza. They throw them off the buildings. Go and see what happens to gay people in Saudi Arabia and so forth. Even on those kind, you would think the world that supports this gay agenda so much, Israel being the only country in the region that supports gay rights, you would think at least they'd put that as a point for them. But there's nothing they can do. You can't reason with the spirit. A spirit is a spirit. When somebody is anointed of the devil to hate you without cause, there's nothing that you'll be able to do to reason with that person. And we see that exactly. You know, this man, Barabbas, what shall we do with this Jesus called Christ? What evil has he done? Pilate couldn't believe it. Pilate said, bring me the basin of water. He washed his hands. He says, this doesn't make sense. I'm innocent of the blood of this innocent person. And Pilate's wife had come to him saying, have nothing to do with this just man. I've been troubled greatly with of a dream concerning him. There were so many testimonies, and any genuine, honest person would look and say, this is a scary thing that's taking place here. How can the multitudes be against Jesus? Why are they not against Barabbas? But we see exactly the same thing happening now. Now, if you think of another example, I'm just going to get onto the media here and its coverage, but think about Balak and Balaam and the back parts of Israel. This is in Numbers chapter 22. Here, Israel was coming into its inheritance according to the promises, under the promises of the word. You know, God had given them the promised land, and they're coming near. And Balak now, the king, he's scared now. He sees the Jews coming, this great multitude, and he calls for Balaam the prophet and says to Balaam, please come. Come and curse these people for me. Come and curse Israel, so that I can fight against them and that I might prosper against them. So Balaam says, I need to go and speak to the Lord. You can read it in Numbers chapter 22. He goes, and the Lord says to him in verse 12, God said to Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people because they are blessed. So the Lord was clear. He said, don't listen to this man called Balak. He's got an antichrist spirit upon him. He's against my people. What I have blessed are blessed. When I promise them their land, that is the Lord actually said, he said, my covenant I make with them to 1,000 generations. I mean, that's 40,000, 50,000 years. Yeah, that's a long time. I mean, he's pushing it beyond time and into eternity, showing this is an everlasting covenant that I give to my people Israel concerning their land. But there rises up a king, and he doesn't want that. He wants to smite Israel just when they're about to enter into the promised land. Can you see how it always works? It's this spirit, the same spirit like of Amalek once again. You know, so Balaam goes back to Balak and says, I can't go with you. The Lord said no. So Balak sends more ambassadors with big money and bribes and that, and says, please. And Balaam goes and prays a second time. And the Lord is angry because the Lord's already told him. And now the Lord gives a permissive will. Said, go with him. And Balaam now goes down and tries to curse Israel. But Balak is very, very clever. Whenever Balaam tries to curse Israel, he blesses them. So Balak says, okay, let me take you to the back parts. Let me take you to the uttermost parts of Israel. Don't look at the whole thing. Don't look at the tabernacle and all the priests and all that. Let me show you the back parts, you know, like showing you the bad parts of Israel. Maybe if you just look at that, then you'll curse them. Yeah. The Brabham says that in the Church Age book, he says Balak was very angry. But there was nothing that Balaam could do about that prophecy. God had prophesied, you know, that these are my people, they are blessed. No matter how much you try to curse them, it had been spoken by the Holy Ghost. What about all the promises to do with Israel back in their land again? Those are promises spoken by the Holy Ghost. So Balak told Balaam to go down below into the valley and look upon their back parts, to see if there wasn't possibly some way that he could curse them. Now listen to what he says. The tactics that Balak used are the same tactics that they use today. The big denomination takes it into the spiritual world. We'll take it into the natural world. The big denominations look down at the little groups, and anything they can find among them to make out a scandal, they bring it out and shout it. If the moderns live in sin, if their people live in sin, no one says anything about it. But let one of the elect get into trouble and every paper blasted across the country. Can you see that spirits never die, saints? Can you see exactly what the prophet was speaking in his day about the Christian world? That you find a genuine man of God, he makes a mistake, it's plastered across the papers. Now let one of these politicians go and do evil. It's covered up. Nothing's ever said. Let Hamas murder and butcher and rape and maim and burn and torture. We just have a few days of coverage and then now totally forgotten. Let Israel make one mistake one of these days and accidentally bomb, like they did the other day, bombing that Hamas leader in the refugee camp, killing some refugees. Have a look how these howls, these United Nations resolutions against them, the United Nations Secretary General condemning Israel, though he's supposed to be an impartial man. Can you see, friends, about spirits, how you'll never, ever in this world find things free, find things fair? It's just not the way that the devil operates. And exactly what the prophet's saying there is exactly the manifestation that we see now, especially in the media. Brabham goes on to say, yes, Israel had her back, her carnal parts. Israel had her mistake. Israel now have their bad parts. They had their side that wasn't praiseworthy. But in spite of their imperfections, by the purpose of God that works through election, by grace and not by works, they had the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They had the smitten rock, the brazen serpent. They had signs and wonders. They were not righteous in themselves, but in God. So you can see, God knew they're not perfect. That's why he put a bloody sacrifice on the brazen altar. That's why he gave them a sacrificial system so they could make atonement for the sins that they did. But Balak had that spirit upon him, that one of wanting to bring Balaam to look at the back parts. Yeah, look what they did there. Look what they did there. And thinking God was going to change his mind about his word because of the mistakes that Israel is going to make. God will never change his mind about his word. He's not like that. And finally, when Balaam raised up at the very end, and you know, the final prophecy of Balaam in Numbers chapter 23, and he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear Hear unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So he's saying, God is saying, I'll never change my mind. These are my people. That's why I've given them an atonement. That's why I've given them a tabernacle. They are my people by election. I've given them this land by grace. I'm not a man that I will lie. I'm not a son of man that I'll change, that I'll repent, that I'll change my mind about them. Doesn't matter what people say about them. These are my people. And no one in the spirit will ever be able to curse them. Because the moment Balaam tried to curse them, God put blessing in his mouth and blessing came out. Behold, I have received commandment, Balaam said, to bless. And he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He, the Lord, hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. He doesn't see the sins of Israel, because they atoned for under the blood of the Lamb. Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of the king is among him. Wow. Friends, when God sets his eye upon you, he loves you with an everlasting love. This is not a conditional thing. Now, when by election he chooses you, woe unto those people that stand against you. Go and read Psalm 105. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob traveling around, how he rebuked kings for their sakes. And he suffered them not to touch his anointed, nor do his prophets no harm, when they were yet few in number. And they weren't perfect. They made their mistakes. But God says, do not touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm. That's what I'm saying, friends. God has a big issue with these people, thinking they're so clever out there and the news media backing them up. The Lord has a big issue with all of these kind of things. And what you want to make sure in this life is don't find yourself on the wrong side of prophecy. Don't find yourself on the negative side of the word. Now, I don't want to be in the crowd shouting, give me Barabbas. I want to be on the side saying, give me Jesus. That's what you want. You want to always find yourself on the right side of the word. It's quite a thing to think about, friends. That's why now Jesus told us, take heed what you hear. Be careful what you listen to, friends. You find a lot of Christians now, they're saying a lot of things against Israel. They are people that don't know their Bibles. They're people that don't know history. They're people that don't examine the facts about what's going on. Remember, we read that saying of Mencius the other week at church, to act without understanding, to form habits without investigation, to follow a path all your life without knowing where it really leads. Such is the behavior of the multitude. These multitudes that are following in these demonstrations, and they don't go deeper. They don't dig down and pray and ask the Lord, what is really going on? Which side are you on here? They don't do that. And friends, it's a sad thing to see. So take heed of what you listen to. Because if you're going to be listening to the BBC, you're going to find yourself that's not going to be the balance of truth. There's not an anointing of truth coming from there. CNN and those kind of things. It shows that article about when the Islamic Jihad, the Muslims shot that missile at Israel and it malfunctioned and fell onto the hospital car park and killed those Arabs, those Palestinians there. And everyone blamed Israel. And then was proved it wasn't Israel. Up to today, BBC has not apologized. CNN has not apologized for the fact that they issued news for days on end that it was Israel who did it, bombing a hospital, when it wasn't them. It's a serious thing, friends. When I look at these things, I say, wow. I thank God for the spirit of truth in his word. You thank him for an absolute. You thank him for a message that you can be washed in the waters of the word and see things the way that the Lord sees things. That's why I said the BBC, to me, it's the Balak Broadcasting Corporation. You know, it's Balak coming and saying, because all they want to do is see the back parts of Israel. Israel make one mistake, see how they'll broadcast it. 24-hour a day, blanket coverage, a child got killed and so forth. And CNN is the Caiaphas News Network. You know, just trying to find things to catch Jesus with. That's why Jesus says, take heed what you hear. We need to be very discerning about what we hear. I put this here because a lot of people ask to say, know, what should people listen to and so forth. These are the things where I get my information from. If I want to know from a biblical point of view what's going on in Israel, what's going on in the Christian world, CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, go and watch their news. They'll give you a biblical basis for their news. They don't cover up if Israel makes a mistake, because Israel's going to make mistakes, but they're going to give you it from a biblical worldview. This guy, Eric Stackelback, he's very good. You find him on YouTube, Watchman Newscast. He keeps you up to date with what's happening with Iran, what's happening in all of these things. Very, very good, taking it from a biblical perspective. The Rosenberg Report, you find it on CNN as well. I posted one of them today when he was interviewing that son whose dad came to rescue him. He gives very, very, he's a Jewish Christian. He gives very, very good, up-to-date current events of what's taking place, so that you really understand from a biblical worldview, not the ungodly worldview that these other ones push. There's a guy here, Chuck Holton. He's very good. He's in Israel at the moment. He reports day by day. You can watch him live, and he goes to different places, gives you an update of what's happening to the north, south, east, and west. Some very good things. And if you want the mainstream media, you know, the best of the lot are Fox Media. Rupert Murdoch, who started Fox News, he was one of the greatest supporters of Israel that's ever been. He's now passed away. On there, you'll find Hannity. Sean Hannity is a very big friend of Israel. He'll give you a balanced view of what's going on in the political world. Newsmax is another one. Yeah, they'll give you at least unfiltered news. They'll tell you the facts of what's going on instead of putting across their view, trying all the time to find the back parts of Israel, the way that Balak did it. Now, this is, as we come to a close, this is a very dangerous end time spirit. There's a picture of where we were last week. We were at Auschwitz-Birkenau, where they brought innocent Jews, mothers, pregnant women, elderly, young children, toddlers, babies, and systematically gassed them. 6 million Jews under the spirit of Amalek, under the spirit of Hitler, the Nazi regime. 6 million people gassed to death for a simple reason, that they were Jews, because they were the children of God, because God's favor and God's blessing was upon them, despite their back parts. But this is a very, very dangerous spirit. Let's just think of the last time that this spirit, the same spirit that we saw manifest in Hamas, the same spirit that we see in the Prince of Persia, you know, in Iran. When is the last time this spirit was given an opportunity to rule, to have dominion, to express itself? It was Nazi Germany 80 years ago. And we see what came from that. When this spirit is given authority, when it has the opportunity to rule, to express itself, it's a frightening manifestation that comes forth. Cruel and evil, focused, single-minded. And the focal point is the children of God every single time. Now, evil now, when it's given the chance to reign, it ends up in a Holocaust. There's some of the photos from Auschwitz. The top one, taking people just because they're Jews, working them to death, putting them in concentration camps, giving them a starvation diet, not having sufficient clothing in the midst of winter. There's the middle photo, is the photo we took there. A pile of shoes, a mountain of shoes, found at Auschwitz when it was liberated by the Americans and the Russians. Every single one of those shoes belonged to somebody. Was a Jew. And just because they were Jew, they were taken to this camp and put to death. There we see how they shot them. Massive pits of people. They'd bring the Jews and shoot them and pile up their bodies and then just cover them over. Oh, friends, it's a serious thing. As soon as Hitler got into power, he started his death camps. Auschwitz down near the bottom right, there's one of them. But there were so many of them scattered around. Every single one of them for one purpose. That was to the final solution of the Jewish problem. And the worst of the lot was the one we went to, Auschwitz-Birkenau. This was a death factory where they were just being trained in day and night, packed full cattle cars, you know, bringing people 9 days, nine nights sometimes, shut in these cattle cars, bringing them now to Auschwitz so that they could be the final solution to the Jewish problem. When they brought them there, unloading them straight from the trains, we stood exactly on that platform there. Here's a photo taken. They would start to divide the people. They'd put them on one side or the other. And this selection now determined whether you went immediately to die or whether you would live for a while, being put into the labor camps, being worked to death. Here's the selection process. This officer in the front now, he's selecting. You see, he's saying to these, go on the right. There's women with babies, young children, the elderly, people that are weak. They were filtered out straight to the right. Those that could work, those were strong men and that, who weren't disabled anyway, they went to the left. They were taken into the concentration camp itself. But these women, these babies, these children, straight from there, 15-minute walk, they call it the death walk. Here they are, straight from the trains, walking up the death walk, being told, now, come along, you need to go and have a shower. You need to have a shower so you can be de-liced and, you know, can be hygienic and so forth. Here they are waiting outside the so-called shower block, not knowing that in a few minutes' time, having just got off the trains maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes before this, finding themselves here standing outside the shower blocks for one reason, in that they were Jews. These are drawings taken by a man who was in there. There they are being told to take off their clothes, get into the so you can go for a shower. I covered over the middle one. I don't want to show much of it. The door was closed in the so-called shower block. They stripped off, gave all their clothes. The Zyklon B, these cans down at the bottom left, canisters of insecticide were poured through holes in the ceiling of the shower block. The doors, everything was closed within 15 minutes. 1,500 people at a time were gassed. And then they would go inside, take their bodies, put them on an elevator, put them in the ovens upstairs and burn their bodies and take their ashes, as we saw last week, and put them in the river. Friends, that's the last time this spirit had the opportunity to express itself, to show what it really was. And now we just had a very small unveiling of this a month ago when we saw this spirit was given a little opportunity to express itself. We saw exactly the same manifestation of just unspeakable, unthinkable cruelty that people can do in a so-called civilized age. And Brother Ram tells us that this is all under the sixth trumpet. He says, if you read your Feast of Trumpets, he says, the Jews have scattered throughout all the land. But there's raised in the last 20 years, this was 1964, he preached it, a bitter persecution against the Jews. So he says that there came a spirit among the people against the Jews. He says, and notice what happens under that sixth trumpet. They were turned loose upon the Jews. The persecution of the Jews, supernatural devils, nearly 2,000 years. Then loosed by Stalin, Hitler, upon the Jews. So we see this great apparatus. You see these Nazis, the SS, you see this man Hitler, they get possessed by certain, an anointing, something is released in this age. Demon power is released and possesses these people. They yield themselves as vessels and give themselves over. And they bring about this horror that's called the Holocaust. It says, notice, 200 million demons turned loose upon those Jews. Where does he get it from? Revelations 9, the sixth trumpet. Listen to the Feast of Trumpets. Brother Ram wanted to understand the seven trumpets. He thought that unveil the same way the seven seals did, but the Lord revealed to him, said, nope, the trumpets are not for the Gentiles. The seals are for the Gentiles. The trumpets are for the Jews. But the Lord just revealed to him just a little measure so that he'd understand. And he came and he preached it in the Feast of Trumpets. The Lord revealed some under the fifth trumpet, the sixth trumpet, and the seventh trumpet to show our day. you know, the persecution of the Jews, political, the wars and all that that have taken place. But Revelations 9, verse 15, it's symbolic. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. So under the sixth trumpet, a third part of men, the trumpets are to the Jews. So we'll find out that before the war, 18 million Jews in Europe, 6 million of them put to death in the Second World War. So when this trumpet oath was sounded and these demons were released, a third of the Jews were put to death exactly according to prophecy. And the number of the army of the horsemen, these demons, you're seeing it in a vision, were 200 million of them. And I heard the number of them. So a great host. Gross darkness comes out of the pit and these demons are released. He says, and I saw the horses in the vision. Yeah, so he sees these demons, but they're symbolic like horses, like powers, charges. And them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses, heads of lions. So it's all very symbolic. You can read it in Feast of Trumpets. But what you want is this point to finish with. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. These are the three things. By these three things, were the third part of men killed. By the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. So let's see what fire, smoke, and brimstone are. Fire. The furnaces, the great ovens, smoke, they were killed by gas, Zyklon B. You see the fire, the smoke. Brimstone is what you make gunpowder from. They were shot, so many of them were shot and put to death. So one third of the men under the trumpets, the Jews, when this sixth trumpet is opened and this demon, 200 million devils, the prophet says of persecution, caught into the nations, that came upon Hitler and Mussolini and never came to the great, turned against the Jews, the persecution of the Jews. It wasn't just natural. It wasn't just political. There was a very powerful spiritual dimension behind this, a very great darkness that came upon society at that time and turned the people against the Jews. But it was to drive them back to their homeland. The Lord allowed the wolves to come in among the sheep. And that was the purpose of this. But we see, it says it in that verse that by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone were the third part of men killed. And it's exactly what happened. They were burned. Now listen to how Brother Bramman explains it in the Feast of Trumpets. When they burned them, there's the fire. They put bubbles in their veins. I did all experience them. They killed them until they had no more gas to kill them. There's your gas. And they shot them till they had no more bullets to shoot them with. There's your brimstone. So it's exactly the sixth trumpet. It's a great host, a great demonic host that is released upon the peoples of the earth. But as we look at the last slide, Brother Ram says this was but the amateur tribulation. This was a minor, this was a prefigure. This was a foreshadow of the tribulation. This was just in Europe, and this was just this great 200 million devils of persecution. This great end time anointing is released against first natural Israel. And they were caught in Europe. So this tribulation was only in Europe. The Jews that were caught in Europe, and one third of them were killed there. He says the amateur tribulation under Hitler and Mussolini and them. But friends, we're living in the shadows now of the great tribulation. When it's not just going to be in Europe, but Jesus said it shall be upon the entire earth. It shall come upon all them that dwell upon the entire earth as a snare, he said, and there'd be no escape. So when you see these things taking place, you know, we'll finish it up there, but there's a lot more that could be said. But these are things that have been prophesied in the word. This spirit, we see it, the spirit of Amalek that comes in every generation. We see this. The prophecy is the revival of the Roman Empire, these 200 million devils of persecution that persecuted the Jews back in the days of the Roman Empire, persecuted the Christians. That anointing is released in our age. And the only thing that holds it back is the purposes of God. So saints, when you look around and you see these people marching in the streets and you see these headlines on the newspapers and so forth, yes, I feel sorry for the Palestinian people caught in Gaza. That many of them don't want to be there. But it's an unfortunate thing that they've fallen in the hands of wicked men. And when Pharaoh persecuted Israel and Pharaoh put the children of Israel, their children, to death in the rivers, God judged the whole nation. And that's exactly what we see happening in Gaza. So we pray that the innocent will not suffer with the guilty. But friends, be very, very careful at a time like this with this media and with this influence and the spirit that is caught upon the nations, this hatred of Israel, this hatred of the Jews, because it's the same spirit and the same hatred that in due season will end up coming against you. Because we are the fulfillment of the word, just as much as Israel is the fulfillment of the word. So may the Lord help us, as we said, to work while it is yet day, to finish the work, to work the work of our Father, while we still have an opportunity to do it, because night is coming. There's a great tribulation coming, a time of trouble such as never has been since man was upon the earth. And now we can just get a bit of an understanding. You know, you see this cruelty, this viciousness, this inhumanity, this barbarism, how people can be so possessed by such demonic forces. You'll start to understand what it'll be like in the tribulation period when Satan is cast out of heaven and comes and incarnates the false prophet, becomes a beast. And he has full dominion and full authority because God has taken his church, has taken the blood off the earth. You can imagine what it'll be like. That's why the Bible says in Revelation 12, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil has come down among you having great wrath, for he knows that his days are numbered. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father, as we see these things, Lord, Father, we see the prophet speaking of these things, such strong things, Lord. But Father, as we see this delusion in this day, as we see, Lord, all we can pray is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. Father, this anointing that's upon the people, that's upon the nations even now. Father, it's a wake-up call to us to realize, Lord, that it's just a reminder that the sixth trumpet has already sounded, Lord, and the Jews are already back just waiting for the seventh trumpet for Moses and Elijah, Lord. And Father, the thing that's holding them back is for us to finish the work. So may you quicken us as your people. May you help us as your people, Father, to continue to walk in the light, to yield ourselves to you, that just as these vessels are yielding themselves to that anointing, and Father, doing these things, Lord, just to yield ourselves to you, the great anointing of the eagle in this day, to finish up thy work. Father, may you bless your people this night. May, Father, you bless Israel, we pray. May you watch over them. Father, you said we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, we know that you slumber not, you sleep not. May you just continue. Give them wisdom. Give the government wisdom, Lord. Help those soldiers that are there, Lord. Father, let not the innocent suffer with the guilty, we pray. But Father, you just reach out your hand, Lord, we pray. Father, just according to your will and according to your purpose, and let your will be done. But Father, we pray your forgiveness, Lord. And Father, may you bless your people and help us this night, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. If anybody's got any final comments or thoughts, would you appreciate them? Rachel was saying, oh, not Israel again. We've come from Auschwitz. I said, no, but we needed just to try to tie it in a little bit there tonight. It's a strong topic, I do realize, but friends, that's the day we're living in.
Keep Job on the ash heap.
Sorry, bro, George.
Keep Job on the ash heap. We need him.
No, I think he's been enough now on the ash heap. I think the point is hit home.
No, for me, Pastor, I say, what can you say? You know, it's tragic what's happening, you know? It's
amen.
It's tragic what's happening. But the same way you spoke and you prayed, you know, the world, they came to a point where it was insanity when they screamed, give us Barabbas, you know?
Yes.
But when they shed his blood, it gave me an atonement. It's when we see the prophecy of what the prophets, like you said, all the most of the prophets, they prophesied these things.
Yeah.
It's hard and tragic. But hey, brother, you know, it's like you don't want to say it in that way, Pastor, forgive me. It's like sometimes you just want to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, because it's so strong what's going on, you know. And I think maybe by us groaning and seeing these things and we don't want to be here anymore, because the way you're looking at it today, now we've got to watch what we say and what we do, because we get persecuted now, you know.
Yes,
but definitely we'll stand for what we believe. No one will, we won't be deterred. We won't be discouraged from speaking for our Lord and our beliefs.
Amen.
Politics and stand for Israel. That's all.
That's it, bro. And I was listening at the moment to Brother George Martin said, Netanyahu means a gift of God. Yeah, he was put there for such a time as this. Now, he has a man that's willing to face down. He doesn't care about the public opinion of the world. He just thinks about the goods, even in Israel, natural Israel, his children, his seed, for such a time as this. And you'll find that those soldiers will do exploits. And there'll come miracles out of this, like out of the Six-Day War. Remember that one we watched once before, miracle in Gaza, 2014, when they went into Gaza. And that man, that soldier came out and he asked his captain, how many injuries did we have in our squad? He said, none. You know, the only one person had a scratch, which they used in one of those earbuds to put stuff on. It was powerful. He said, it's impossible with where we've been to come out of there without a scratch. But he's still the God of Joshua. He's still the God of David and Goliath. He's still the God of Israel. He says he doesn't slumber nor sleep. And every one of these things, like you said, Brother George, when they said, give us, we're glad in the end, they said, give us Barabbas, because that bought our salvation. That hastened the blessing. That brought about the fullness of the promise, or that cost Christ the ultimate. But the same now, you know, all of these things work together for good. Like Brother Ellie was preaching on Friday at the prayer meeting, every one of these things, it seems hard, but it moves things to the fulfillment of Scripture. It moves things to the place they're supposed to be. So we thank the Lord for that. But obviously there's men, women, children suffering, people dying, people misplaced. As human beings, we don't want to see that. You know, I feel sorry for those people in Gaza. Yeah, but many of them were dancing and, you know, rejoicing over the death of babies and women and children just a few weeks back, when they were dragging those bodies through the streets and the people were rejoicing. And then you find just a few weeks later now, their homes are bombed and the streets are bombed because they've got Hamas in the midst of them. It's sad to see. Now, we don't want to see it as human beings. That's why, like you say, you just would like to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come and finish these things up. Because let him rule in righteousness. That's what we desire. Anybody else before we finish this?
Shalom, brother.
Oh, Brother Tony, God bless,
brother. Brother, we meet up again on Tuesday.
Yeah,
brother,
good.
You know, like, I like what you preach today. It's a very nice, touchy story. And you can actually see the end coming to close now. And as we look at what is happening, the events are folding up very fast, you know.
Yeah.
And it's an eye-opener for sure, because we have to keep reminding our children as well, because they go out in the world, you know.
That's
and they
it.
Think they can open up their mouth and, you know, say certain things and, you know, try and get, try and get covered by those certain things and think that there's comfort in them. But we know what the Bible preaches and what the Bible tells us, you know, because now these days it's watch who the person that you work with and the people that you close by with, you know, even if you're going to college and things like that, watch those people that are close to you, because those are the people that will pick you up very quick and they'll sell you out very, very fast and tell them, this man is a man of who supports the Jews and things like that. Even us ourselves, like me, when I was looking at the whole scenario, saying to myself, hey, Lord, where the way you've paced up things, you know, step by step, the way the things go. And you'd find that people are rejoicing, you know, the way Israel is being picked up and things. That even on TV, you'd actually see on channels the way Israel is being, you know, you find how people, there are a few people that will stand, you know, like in England. I saw a couple of people that are trying to make a stand, you know.
Yeah, true.
But they were made to run, you know, honestly. Because if the police weren't there, they were going to be run over and they were going to be injured badly.
But that's the truth, bro.
If you look at it and you say to yourself, really, what's happening? Brother, you see, you hit the nail on the nail straight in, brother. And it's there, brother. We have to open up our eyes because but we have to also look up because our redemption is nigh, brother, for
That's
sure.
right, bro. That's
We have to
true.
get a grip and look and say, Lord, thank you so much, you know, because these things are beginning to unveil. Because can you imagine in the time of tribulation how it's going to be, brother? It's going to be a sad time, brother, if you stay
That's
behind,
a
you know what I
purging
mean?
time, bro. That's a real purging time. That's not going to be nice.
So I don't want to be there. I want to be gone in the number, you know, with the saints as well. I want to build my house there, you know, in that 1,000 years in the millennium, brother, and enjoy myself. I don't want to be here, brother. I want to be in that 1,000 year millennium to build my own house, you know, and to have horses and to have everything, you know,
Ah,
nice
brother.
river as well, you know,
Paradise
trees.
will be back. Eden will be back again.
Exactly. Brother, will
But what
this
we just need
gem
to
be
do,
found
bro.
for 1,000 years?
Yes, what we really just need is that, you know, we could even ask Brother George to sing the song. Just want to stay right under the blood. I mean, that's what we want.
Amen.
We
Amen.
need, that's how we're speaking on Sunday about the need of a mediator, because Satan is vicious, he's cruel.
Very
When he's
true.
given an opportunity, like if somebody's put into the hands of the devil, bro, that's not a nice thing. No, we don't realize, because we have, when the Lord boasted about Job and said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" The devil said, "I can do nothing to him. You put a hedge of protection around him." And we don't realize there's this hedge of protection. We're under the blood. There's an angelic host, the angel of the Lord, encamps around them that fear him and delivers them and so forth. The angels will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. That's absolutely the grace of God. But if the Lord ever opened that up, oh, you find the Inquisitions of the past and the Fox's Book of Martyrs, those things are never far away. It's just a grace of God that holds those things back. But given another opportunity, those days come back. And that's what the tribulation period is, if you really think. And that's what happened, just a little measure. The Lord allowed a little break in the defenses of Israel just for a few hours. And look at the horror stories that came from there, bro. Up to now, you can't believe some of the things which you hear. More and more people giving their testimonies and so forth say, yay, yay, yay. Is that possible? In a day like today, that these things can take place. And the media is just quiet on those things now. And all they're doing is against Israel. Then you say, woof, yeah, these are the signs of the end time. You know, this is really the day we're living in. So thanks, bro. Anybody else before we finish their sayings?
Pastor, even just one last one. Sorry, saying, say, I'm taking up a lot of. You know, I was just thinking, I saw this clip of Rabbi Khan was explaining himself because these people were trying to smear him, you know, Rolling Stones magazine. And you really see that it's that time now where the next best thing is going to be the believers, you know. Because, like, look. At some point, we've been waiting. We're just waiting in the corner to say, when are they coming, you know? But at some point, you know, but at least I believe the Lord, you know, like he says, he'll give us the words to say. And if the Lord could give power to the believers in the Old Testament, he'll give us power also to overcome in this day, you know? So, hey.
I like it in questions and answers when Brother Bram answers that, and he speaks about why people go in the tribulation and all that. Then he says, you know, the bride will never go through the tribulation. He said, there'll just be a squeeze. I mean, that's all it's going to be. But the moment Satan tries to put his hand against the bride, the Lord takes his bride away. He says, because if you think of a man who loves his bride, he's going to keep his bride back from everything that he possibly can. And he says, we have already been judged. We've been judged in Christ. Now, when we go to church, like he says, the pulpit is the white throne. The books are opened every time we go to church, and we are judging ourselves by the word. The word is judging us, and we are pleading guilty every time the word comes and shows us where we're wrong. So, you know, we're under the blood. We're under a perfect atonement. We're represented in Christ. He says Christ has already been judged for us. So there won't be much on the bride. I think maybe, like we've always said, speculating, I think here in the Western world, we as the bride need a little bit more of a squeeze than in Africa and those places, because, you know, they don't need to be purged, the final little bit of squeeze to get the worldliness out of them and to wake them up. But across here, it's quite easy for people to be asleep in Zion and, you know, to get in the spirit of lukewarmness. So the Lord in his goodness knows how to, the eagle knows how to stir the nest to get the eagles to fly. So it's always in love that he does it. But he never ever speaks in the Bible, never speaks of any big tribulation to the bride. No, Christ bore our tribulation. And if we're in Christ, we've already been judged. So there'll be something, like he says, that close you down. And now there's going to be something just before the end. But that's when the third pool comes in. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the fullness comes in. The prophet says, that which you've seen in part, you will see manifest in the fullness of its power. God will raise a standard to meet him. Like the fiery furnace, when they were thrown in, that was when the third pool manifested. When Daniel was put in the lion's den for failing to bow down, that's when the third pool kicked in for him and the angel came down. So, yeah, I think it'll be a glorious time. Yeah, your flesh and your heart will fail a little bit on the way, but God is the strength of your heart and you'll find that he's faithful. But it's those people that are not under the blood, those people that compromise with the word, the foolish virgin, they now go into a full tribulation period. Now there's no more blood. Now, there's no more angels watching over you and all that. Now it's God is dealing with the Jews. Now he's got Moses and Elijah under the seventh trumpet, bringing the 144,000 to the atonement to recognize Christ. Now Joseph is revealing himself to his brothers. His wife has already been dismissed to the palace. You know, the rapture's already taken place. Now that's a fearful thing, that, to think of that persecution now. And that's how all of these people, Jim Baker and all of these Christian guys, many of them very good people, they're preparing the people for that. You know, buy your survival food and get your survival kit here and stuff. And like Brother Donnie said, it's the grace of God. God is preparing them for tribulation because they'll be in the tribulation. God doesn't want them to go in the tribulation unprepared. So even them, the foolish virgin, those people are preaching them into the tribulation, are preparing them for that. And they'll determined, I'm going to die for my faith. I'll never give in to the mark of the beast. You know, God is very faithful. He had his portion for Lot just as much as his portion for Abraham. He didn't forget Lot down there in Sodom. He took him through the fire. He brought him out through the fire. Yeah, so it's quite a thing to think about. Okay. Sorry, saints, we don't want to get preaching there. Get some more. So, Brother Jake there says, thanks for the Bible study. A question that's off topic. I read a Bible verse the other day saying, ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you. Can you really ask for anything? Well, yes. Balance it up with 1 John. If you ask him anything according to his will, he'll give it to us. You know, so you'll never have faith, genuine spiritual faith, to ask anything contrary to the will of God. Like for me to go and pray for the death of my enemies now, say, if I had enemies, I would never have faith to do that. It's not according to the will of God. I should be praying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I should be praying for my enemies. So, you know, as long as you pray according to the will of God, that's why prayer is governed by your motive and objective. When you approach the Lord the right way, with the right motive, the right objective, he's going to quicken your faith. Something's going to settle in your soul. And you're going to say, God is going to answer this prayer. But if you ask something like James said, you ask according to your lusts, that you may waste it and so forth. I mean, you'll never really even have faith, have a quickening power in your prayer to believe God's going to answer that. Even feel condemned for asking that. But if you ask him anything according to his will, he's going to give it to you. So yes, you've got to balance it up with that. Hope that helps. And how do we know his will? Get in the word. You know, we speak of that church many times. God will persuade you of the promise. Now, if the Lord's going to fulfill his word in you, there'll be a deep inside of you. You'll start, you know, feeling, Lord, I'm hungry for this. I'm thirsty for this. Lord, I desire this. You get in the word. The Lord feeds your faith. Your faith becomes more and more of a substance. You can say, Lord, I believe your time has come. You want to give me this because you are quickening me, Romans chapter 8, to pray. The Holy Ghost quickens us. We know not how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Ghost quickens us to pray according to the will of God. So when you find the Lord quickening you in your prayer, the Holy Ghost is inspiring your prayer. It's not just natural prayer. The Holy Ghost is inspiring you, quicken you, because that's the will of God. You know, so you can many, many times tell by the way that you pray, whether it's just you and your shopping list, or whether it's you praying according to the will of God. Because when you're praying according to the will of God, there's going to be an amen in heavenly places to your prayer. There's going to be a quickening power. You're going to feel it that, oh, Lord, there's a reality now in my prayer. Whereas before, it was just me praying, but now the Holy Ghost is leading me to pray according to your will. I think let's finish there, saints. God bless you. Very good to be with you. I know it was a bit of a strong topic, Saints. You know, I had to finish it up coming from Auschwitz. There's other topics I'd rather be doing at this time, but I just wanted to do that. And the thing I wanted to hit there, like Brother Tony said, for the young ones, the new ones in the faith, the children and that, they really need to understand when they hear these things at school and see these things on, you know, on social media and that, 99.9% of it is antichrist. It's against the word. It's against Israel, which is the fulfillment of prophecy in this day. So I just wanted to really hammer that point home, especially for the young ones, and to show if you want to find balanced news, there's good sources for it, but be very discerning. Don't just swallow. It's easy to get influenced by this pervading influence that's upon the world at this time. So I really just wanted to hit that point quite hard at the beginning to try to help the young ones. So we understand why we stand the way. Like the brother said, Brother George said, we're not in this politically. We're not interested in politics. Politics is the devil's realm. We are here because this is the fulfillment of prophecy. We want to be on the right side of the word. And the Bible says, he who curses Israel will be cursed. I mean, I don't want to be found on the negative side of scripture. So, you know, we're not looking at this as Israel as a political entity. We're looking at this as Israel, the seed of Abraham, according to prophecy, regathered in the land so that Christ can reveal himself to them under the seventh trumpet. And anything, and the devil's going to try to get in the way and complicate that and stand in the way and oppose that. He does it in every generation. That's the spirit of Amalek. And in our age, there's been a huge anointing of devils of persecution, the prophet calls them in our age. So we can expect more and more of this to take place if the Lord doesn't keep his hand of restraint. You pray for us, Brother George, please, if you would. Thanks, brother.
That's great. Father Lord, we can even quote that song that has been in my heart all day that says, I hear thy welcome voice. That calls me, Lord, to thee,
amen,
to the cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed from Calvary. Amen. And Lord, how we would respond and say, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming now to thee. Wash and cleanse me in the blood that flowed from Calvary. Lord, Father, today, whilst we hear this voice, we want to be washed by the blood. The blood is there to cleanse, to sanctify us, to purge us, O God. For Lord, there will come a day that, Lord, this blood will lose, Lord, Father, that effect, O God. Lord, the mercy seat will, Lord, Father, change. Jesus, you'll come off, Lord, and meet us in the clouds. And, Lord, Father, as he's been preached many times, Lord, and the prophet said, Lord, that we'd have to shed our own blood to get through, O God. Amen. Father, Lord, we want to take advantage and we come to that blood this night. Lord, we want to, Lord, Father, just bathe ourselves whilst it's still today, O God. Take full advantage, O God, as the pastor would feel that it was a hard topic, Lord, but it was necessary, O God. Father, the many times that, Lord, even the people within the church, the younger saints, they're asking these questions. That's the reason, Lord, that you brought it, not him, O God. You allowed and you brought this and you've answered a multitude of questions. And even as he prayed earlier on, later on, Lord, Father, oh, precious Savior, Lord, a fallen brother or sister, Lord, would catch this, the footprints that has been set on YouTube. They will catch this, Lord, and Lord, take flight again. They'll catch understanding, Lord. They'll be enlightened and they will say, I have heard, but now I see. Lord, they will, Lord, Father, see that this is the word that sets us free, Father, from all darkness, O God. We thank you, O God. And as we stand with our brethren, Lord, Lord, Savior, we pray for them, O God. Father, undertake, Lord, Father, give grace, give mercy, Lord. We pray, as you said, pray for Israel, Lord Savior. We pray for peace even in that land. Yes, we will all go through this, O God. Father, it will be a time, Lord Savior, like never before. It will be painful for us to watch, but to others, Lord, Father, they will like that day. They'll just chant, kill them, crucify them, O God. Amen. Lord, Father, we just pray that thine will be done. Thine grace will, Lord, undertake at this time. We bless you, we praise you. That, Lord, Father, we counted another time, Lord, Father, a Tuesday in your presence, O God, fellowshipping pertaining these end time events. Bless our pastor, restore virtue. Bless him, bless his family, bless all the saints that have been tuned in, those even on YouTube. However, Lord, just bless us, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, this insight, this deep insight to, Lord, the current events, oh God. And as we go, may we not just leave these things here, but when we pick up our Bibles, Lord, and read, Lord, Father, oh God, the scripture, and see Christ in all these things, oh God, that, Lord, Father, we will be able, Father, not because the pastor said, but because the Spirit within us, Lord, Father, it woos us. The Spirit within us beckons us, oh God, to stand steadfast and stand with Israel, Lord, even upon this time. We thank you. We love you as we lay well unto thee until we meet again, Lord, on a day like this. If we will, Father, may your glory, your grace be, Lord, Father, lifted, and may your blood continue to atone. We bless you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. God bless, saints. Good evening. Have a good rest of your week. We'll meet you on Friday by the grace of God. God bless.
God bless.
God bless. Oh, big man. God bless.